Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around. Hang out with us for a while tonight, okay? And if you are really in the mood for a lot of fun and frivolity, stick around for the whole 3 hours. Oh, God. Limbaugh and Bush, what a couple of losers. It's incredible what's going on, isn't it? I'm having an awful lot of perverted fun or getting perverted pleasure out of watching Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh and Michael Medved and George Bush just continuing to urinate all over their own shoes. It's just great fun to watch. The moron today vetoed a bill that 70% of Americans want, and that is expanded health care coverage for children. It would have cost $35 billion over 5 years. At the same time, Bush is pushing $190 billion for his war and death and destruction and disease and murder and chaos for 1 year. Think about it. $35 billion for 5 years as opposed to $190 billion for one. And yet this two-bit twit says the reason he vetoed the bill was because he wants to keep spending in line. Oh, God. Just keep doing it, George. Just keep doing it. Not only are you guaranteeing the death of the Republican Party, thank you, Jesus, but you're also guaranteeing that the Democratic Party will be in control probably for another 40 years, which is not necessarily a good thing. But given the two choices between flat-out fascists and incipient fascists, always choose the incipient fascists because you have a chance to deal with them, to change them, to bring them to heel. And that's what we normal Americans are going to have to do to our Democratic Party once it becomes the permanent party of governance. The Republicans are dying. The noise you hear every night when you open your bedroom window is the flapping of the wings of a dying Democratic Party as it lays somewhere in a field or in a parking lot, a Republican Party as it lays in a field flapping or on a car park someplace. So we will have some sounds for you tonight of that flapping sound of the death of the Republican Party. Stick around. And because we have the sound bites from George W. Bush today, ta-da, moron sounds. It's incredible. He was in Lancaster, PA, visiting the Chamber of Commerce and attempting to discuss the S-chip bill that he just vetoed. So you got to hear it. Speaking of that veto today, the Bush crime family made sure that as little attention as possible was focused on what he did. As a matter of fact, I think it was Too Much Cappuccino Perino said Bush planned to issue the veto behind closed doors with no press coverage and no fanfare, right? The State Children's Health Insurance Program, SCHIP, is in fact a joint state and federal effort that subsidizes health care coverage for about 6.5 million people, mostly children, from families who families that earn too much to qualify for Medicaid, but not enough to afford their own private coverage. Who can afford their own private coverage? In our family, we can barely afford it, and one of the reasons we can afford it is because it comes through our union. We do not buy health coverage on the street, even getting it through my union. It's still, this is health insurance that started out 7 or 8 years ago as just being included in the enormous dues I pay to remain in AFTRA. And then all of a sudden there was a charge for any dependents, and then there was a charge for my spouse, and then a charge for me, and all these charges have gone up, up, up. So, yeah, we have health insurance. If we had to get it someplace other than from the union, of which I've been a member for 11 years now, 12 years now, I don't know that we could afford it. And I say that sincerely. Anyway, the The S-CHIP program is for those families that earn too much to qualify for Medicaid but not enough to afford their own private coverage. And the Democrats, with significant support from Republicans, again, political support, not because Republicans, as a matter of conscience or a fundamental belief in Republicanism, not that they believe that children should be insured. Oh, hell no. They're doing it because 70% of the American people are demanding it. So the Republicans, some of them, a whole clot of these rat bastards still don't get the message. But some Republicans are doing it strictly for the political ramifications of not supporting it. And again, these Republicans who are supporting it, there's no reason to sit back. I don't care if it is Orrin Hatch or Charles Grassley. To hell with them. There's no reason to sit back and applaud them and say, good dog, nice of you to do this. We really appreciate it. No, to hell with that. They're doing it for political reasons and political reasons only. The way this was to be paid for, this $35 billion over 5 years, which would have allowed an additional 4 million children into the program. Now, let me just mention that for a second. It would allow 4 million children into the program, but under the plan that Bush wants, 1 million children will have to be dropped that are already on the program. Because Bush's pissy $5 million over the next 5 years does not even keep the program running even. To an extent that at least 1 million kids would be dropped. Bush excels at only one thing, and that's coming up with plans, not executing them, but coming up with plans to wreak havoc and death and destruction. He relies on other people to execute those plans. Bush is a killer. Everybody in the crime family, the Bush crime family, is a killer, a disrespecter of human life. They are murderous thugs. They've got to be removed from office, and I guess, given the Democratic Party's leadership, it's going to have to be through the ballot box and not through impeachment. 4 million additional children into the program and keep it funded for the next 5 years. That's what the Democrats and a few politically motivated Republicans have tried to do here. And how would it be funded? Bush wants you to believe it'll be funded with a tax increase. Well, only if you are a cigarette smoker. And the federal cigarette tax, I believe, is an excise tax. People who don't like that excise tax should consider the fact that the rest of us have to pay for people who develop smoking-related illnesses. So it kind of works out, doesn't it? Raising the tax on cigarettes by 61 cents to a dollar a pack versus the cost of paying for people on Medicare and Medicaid who destroy their body tissue by continuing to smoke here 40 years after the Surgeon General said, look, if you're going to keep doing this, understand something. A certain percentage of you are going to get deathly sick and die screaming and drowning in your own phlegm. So, you know, while the tobacco industry insists that this is not fair, and I've heard some smokers' rights organizations now saying, why should smokers pay for this? The answer is very simple. Because smokers cost the rest of us much more than this stinking cigarette 61 cents a pack tax increase. That's why. And that's from someone who smoked for 35 years. Me. And I don't know if I'm home free or not. I've said before, my doctor has said, well, Malloy, you may have escaped the lung cancer, but I'd hate to see what 35, 40 years of smoking has done to your heart. So, you know, you roll the dice and you take your choice, but at some point in somebody's life, in each person's life, they got to make a decision. Do I keep doing this filthy habit or do I stop? And I frankly don't care about that argument. What I do care about is the screeching and clawing and screaming now from the pro-cigarette crowd that says, why should we have to pay for it? Why? Because you cost the American public billions. Call it a give back. Call it anything you want. But that's where the money would come from to fund this increase. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Something I like. We're all compassionate.
Up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. So anyway, the S-CHIP program is designed to help low-income families. We shouldn't use the term poor. We should use the term low-income because It covers low-income families. There are also programs that cover poor children. One of those programs is S-CHIP, but it also covers low-income and lower-middle class. I hate these terms, but that's the way the terms are used. The cost of this $35 billion would be funded by raising the cigarette tax by 61 cents. Right now it's at 39 cents a pack. This would take it up to a buck a pack. And, of course, Bush said and followed through, because he's a man of his word, he vetoed the bill. He argued that this plan would be a move toward socialized medicine by expanding, which is a damn good idea, because it would expand the program to higher-income families. Higher-income. Yeah, families that operate at 200 or 300 percent of the poverty rate. Whoa. Now, Democrats, of course, deny all that. They said their goal is to cover more of the millions of uninsured children. And, of course, the bill does provide financial incentives for states to cover their lowest income children first. You see, of the 43 million people nationwide who lack health insurance, Truth Seeker, 9%. Or about 6 million, are under 18. 18 Republicans saw the political advantage of going along with this. Republicans do not like children unless they're unborn or the size of a pinhead, resting in someone's womb. Then they worship at the altar of that child. But a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old or a 1-year-old trying to nurse at his mama's breast, Republicans hate those children. The only way Republicans will tolerate those children is in the hope that someday they will grow up and become the Republicans' yard boy or pool manager. But Republicans hate children. You can tell they hate children by what they vote for or what they allow Bush to do. This current Republican Party is the most anti-family, anti-child political party in the history of this country. And my saying that is superfluous to the fact that it is. Look at their voting record on everything. But 18 Republicans in the Senate joined the Democrats because those 18 Republicans saw political advantage in being able to say, re-elect me, I voted for children. That's the only reason they voted the way they did. Now, this gives the Senate enough votes to override Bush's veto if those 18 Republicans don't think to themselves, ah, to hell with it. I voted for it, now I'll vote against it, and when I go home for re-election, I'll say, well, I voted for it. My constituents are so goddamn dumb, they will never figure out that I assisted in permanently killing this. Who knows with Republicans? Now, that wasn't the case in the House. In the House, there were, I think, 45 members of the House who are Republicans also saw the political advantage to doing this, and House Republicans dislike children probably to a greater degree than Senate Republicans. Because House Republicans understand, since they have to get elected or reelected every year, that children get in the way with their demands for this and their demands for education. Ah, for Christ's sake. Medical care. Oh, please go away. Keep my kid out of the military. Oh, stop. Safe schools. Oh, who cares? So fewer Republicans in the House, not enough to override the pig's veto, joined with the Democratic Party and voted to pass this bill. Whether or not the Democrats can convince, I think they need two dozen, the 24 or 25 more Republicans, that it is more to the advantage of this country to vote for $5 billion a year over the next 7 years for health care than it is to vote for $190 billion more over 1 year for this filthy, stinking butchery and occupation going on in the Middle East. It is difficult to convince Republicans that the latter is hell and the former is a way of redemption, because Republicans hate not just children, they hate all life on this planet. Why? Because they know that when the death becomes monumental enough, when the bodies reach up to the heavens, then Jesus will come back and take them all to heaven. So to hell with what's going on here on earth. And that's how the mind of a Republican works.
And I am guilty, I am war, and I am the root of all evil. Lord, and I can't drive on the left side of the road. Is it the hard life, is the hard life, the very hard life, wherever you go? And if we poison our children with hate, then the hard life is all the good. There ain't no place in this world for kids to go.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
25 before the hour. Today's veto is Bush's fourth. It took 6 years to veto his first bill. This is a guy who all of a sudden says he's going to be fiscally responsible, and he's going to do it on the backs of children. Son of a bitch! It's just vile. It's just slimy, scummy. What Republicans do, it's incredible.
Not just any children. Poor, sick children.
Yeah, well, those are the ones that are easiest to squash into the ground, I guess. His first veto was when he blocked expanded federal research using embryonic stem cells last summer from in vitro fertilized eggs that were going to be flushed down a commode somewhere. That makes sense, doesn't it? In May, he vetoed a spending bill that would have required troop withdrawals from Iraq. You see, he's just these people are so pro-death. No, we want more death. And in June, he vetoed another bill to ease restraints on federally funded stem cell research. No. We don't want the cures for 8 or 9 diseases that could be genetically cured with some research. No, we don't want that. We want death and destruction, because Jesus will come and all this will end at some point anyway. So in the meantime, you got to suffer. He says Congress mustn't spend more on domestic programs than what he's requested for the fiscal year that started a couple of days ago without a budget. There's an emergency budget that was passed. But he wants $933 billion, which is just shy of $1 trillion. The Democratic-led Congress wants an additional less than 1%. They want an additional $22 billion more than that. That would cover what the Democrats want, less than 1%. So on that difference rests Bush's threat that he is going to veto 9 major funding bills necessary to keep this government running. It may be a good idea. Let him veto them all. Let the Democrats go home. Let the country crash and burn. Maybe we can start over again. Huh? What do you think? In an ABC Washington Post survey, almost 70% of respondents said they wanted Congress to reduce the amount of money going to Iraq and Afghanistan. 70%. At the same time, 72% said they wanted Congress to approve the additional spending on children's health insurance. Interesting juxtaposition of the two numbers there, right? House Minority Leader John Boehner of Ohio said the proposal was put together without input from Republicans. That this bill to expand the children's health care, that's a flat-out lie, but that's what Boehner does is lie. Senior Republicans such as Charles Grassley of Iowa, Orrin Hatch of Utah, helped draft the bill, Boehner. And 18 Republicans in the Senate and 45 in the House of Representatives voted for it, Boehner. But you see, John Boehner is a psychopathic liar who hates children, hates kids. The only time Boehner gets around kids is when he wants to use them the way Bush uses the troops, in a photo op. That's all. Bush claims that this bill to expand SCHIP, quote, would result in taking a program meant to help poor children and turning it into one that covers children in households with incomes up to $83,000 a year. That is another lie. The bill that the House and Senate passed maintains current law. It limits the program to children from families with incomes up to twice the federal poverty level, which is now $20,000, almost $21,000 for a family of four, or up to 50 percentage points above a state's Medicaid eligibility threshold, which varies from state to state. Now, states that want to go beyond those limits would require approval from Bush's Health and Human Services Department, just as they have to do it now. For example, HHS recently denied a request by the state of New York to increase its income threshold to four times the poverty level, which would have put it in New York up to $82,600. That's the figure that you hear these Republican swine batting around as being what the Democrats want. It is a lie. It's what the state of New York requested. By law, they have to request, can we raise our limits? Health and Human Services said no. But if you listen to these right-wing pigs, they will tell you that what the Democratic bill contains is an allowance that takes it up to $83,000 a year for SCHIP, which in fact is a goddamn good idea, but it's not in the bill. But not only do Republicans hate life. Not only do they hate children, not only do they love to nestle into the breasts of war and death and destruction, not only is all that true, but they are also liars. My God. But maybe this time, just maybe, enough of the American public realizes what these lying scum bastards are all about and will not allow this to happen. Not allow this veto to stand. Maybe. Orrin Hatch, speaking up about Bush's veto of the SCHIP program, you know it's bad when Orrin Hatch opposes the Bush administration on, well, anything. Listen to this guy who really believes, Orrin Hatch, and that's why I say he's only doing it for political reasons. Orrin Hatch knows that as a God-fearing Mormon, when he dies, he's going to wind up as the king or the leader of some planet somewhere. I mean, Mormonism, I'm sorry, get pissed off. I really don't care. Mormonism is like the Church of Scientology. It's boo, 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 boo. L. Ron Hubbard craziness. Yeah, the Mormons believe that when you die, if you have a sealed marriage and all this other crap, you will wind up somewhere, oh, I don't know, to the left of Arcturus, running your own planet. Oh, my God. Here's Orrin Hatch.
I don't understand how we can say it's a great program without covering the kids that really deserve to be covered.
Yeah.
And for those who argue that it's out of control, 92% of all the kids who will be covered by this bill will be in families under 200% of the poverty level. Now, to call this a march towards one-size-fits-all government-mandated health care is just political, in my opinion.
Oh, really?
Because this is a block grant to the states, with the states having tremendous power over this bill. Not total power, but power. It is not an entitlement,
really?
Which some, even those who are the most partisan, have had to drop that accusation. We made it better. We made it more in line with what this administration really wanted. The only apparent conflict is over the $35 billion on top of the $25 billion. But if you look at that, and if we're sincere, and if we really want to take care of children, then my gosh, CBO says it's going to take that much money to take care of the kids who are eligible for this program. So if we're truly compassionate, it seems to me, we'd want to endorse this program. And I really have a difficult time seeing, having seen this veto. And I don't think the president is somebody who doesn't want these kids to be covered. I think he's been given some pretty bad advice.
Oh, yeah.
By some who, though sincere, are sincerely wrong.
It's bad advice. Oh, is that what it is, Orrin? What, George is not going to get his own planet to rule? Well, that's right. He's not a Mormon. But the bad advice, that's all. George Bush, the compassionate conservative. Yeah, you're right, Orrin. Bush has demonstrated over the past six, almost 7 years, his deep vein of compassion. Come on, Hatch. He's gotten bad advice from some who are sincere, but are sincerely wrong. Hitler was sincere, Orrin. So what? My God. So, let's join the compassionate conservative. He is in Lancaster, PA, addressing a Chamber of Commerce and Industry gathering. And amazingly, even these right-wing Lancaster, PA, Chamber of Commerce types kind of miss most of the applause lines built into Bush's speech. But you got to wonder if Bush is back on the sauce, because he rambles on about dreamers with tax cut money in their pockets that allow them... where am I? I think I'm looking. Oh, here we are. Here we are. This is where we'll get to that one in a second. The decider decides to explain his role, his decision-making job, and the resulting decisions he's made as the decider about the basis of his decisions on the S-chip veto, which he had to decide in order to make a decision.
I really appreciate the Lancaster Chamber of Commerce for giving me an opportunity to explain why I have made some of the decisions I have made. My job is a decision-making job. And as a result, I make a lot of decisions, and it's important for me to have an opportunity to speak to you and others who would be listening about the basis on which I have made decisions, to explain the philosophy behind some of the decisions I have made.
Well, you know, Chuckle Nuts, I just made a decision. I decided to count the number of times you just said decisions in 30 seconds. It was 5. I'm the decisioner. I'm the decider and the decisioner. My job is a decision-making job. I do decisions. And as a result, I make decisions because I'm a decider. I've told you before, I'm the decisioner. I'm the decider. More of this garbled nonsense right after this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
He opens his mouth. He says more and more imports come from overseas. So I can't we make the pie higher. I know humans and fish can coexist peacefully if we don't cave into desire. You can't take the high horse and then claim the low road. The past is over, I agree. We all know the importance of bondage between mother.
Making the Pie Higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Nine before the hour. All right, two more of these sound bites. And I notice a lot of people are already on the lines. So when we come back after the break at the top of the hour, we're going to go right to your phone calls for this segment. Now, this is what I started to say. You got to wonder if Bush is drinking again. Because if you listen to him in this one at the Lancaster PA Chamber of Commerce, he rambles on about dreamers with tax cut money in their pockets that allow them new opportunity employments and prevents them from growing small businesses. It's just insane. This guy needs to be put away someplace where he can do no further harm to this country or the world.
I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about what is the proper relationship between the federal government and the risk takers in society. But I just want to make sure you understand what I know. And that is prosperity occurs because people work hard and dream dreams. And so when I talk about tax cuts, I want you to be thinking about tax cuts not only for yourself, but tax cuts for small business owners. Expansion of this business has provided people new opportunity employments, new employment opportunities here in Lancaster County. You know, when you give a man more money in his pocket, or in this case a woman more money in her pocket to expand a business, it means they build new buildings. And when somebody builds a new building, somebody's got to come and build a building. And when the building expanded, it prevented additional opportunities for people to work. Tax cuts matter.
So does grammar and diction, you moronic jerk. When the building expanded, it prevented additional opportunities for people to work. What the hell is he talking about? He is only articulate when he is talking about death, war, and destruction. In this last one, Bush wants to know how to spend the good money he's got. Guess it's not going to be on providing poor kids with health insurance.
One of the issues that we're going to be facing in Washington, D.C. is how to spend your money. In other words, what do we do with the good money that we've collected? How do we spend it? And so what you're going to see me making decisions this year is when they spend and they try to increase taxes on you, I'll use the prerogative given to me under the Constitution, and I'm going to veto the tax bills. I just vetoed a bill today. I don't want to explain to you why. It's called S-CHIP. The intent of the S-CHIP is to help poor children's families buy the children health care or get them on health care. First of all, poor children in America are covered by what's called Medicaid.
Oh, my God.
We spend about $35.5 billion on poor children's health insurance. In other words, when they say, well, poor children aren't being covered in America, if that's what you're hearing on your TV screens, I'm telling you, there's $35.5 billion worth of reasons not to believe that. That's why I brought up the example of the S-CHIP Corporation.
The S-CHIP Corporation? What the hell is this moron talking about? And he says, in other words, what we do with the good money we've collected, that good money is long gone, jackass. You're using the good money provided you by the Chinese who keep buying up the bad debts in this country. What are you talking about? You have a deficit. There's no money. You've driven the country $11 trillion into debt, you halfwit. He says, how do we spend it? Well, let's see, on blood and death and slaughter and rape and torture and destruction. Oh, that's right, and allowing your cronies and the extended Bush crime family to steal as much as they can stuff into their damn pockets, right? He says, I'm going to use the prerogative given to me under the Constitution. You know, what I used to call that goddamn piece of paper, unless I need to use it for something. Like to blow my nose or clean my shoes or cite it when I want to deny children health care. What a pig. What a filthy human being. How did this I know how this bastard got into the White House. His backers made sure that the election was stolen. twice. Oh, my God. Had enough? Huh, America? Had enough? You right-wingers like to cluster around this program like moths around a candle flame. Hey, we sit out here and listen to Mike. He's crazy. Have you had enough? Or do you want more? You masochistic psychopaths probably want more. Well, sorry, you're not going to get it. We are going to drag you kicking and screaming into the daylight. The Democratic Party is going to do it, not next year and not 5 years from now. It's going to take 10, 15, 20 years. But eventually, we're going to drag you Neanderthal, sociopathic Republicans into the daylight. We really are. We're going to save your children's lives. We're going to save your lives. We're going to find cures for diseases based on embryonic stem cell research. We're going to grant you an extra 15 or 20 miserable years, life extension, so you can continue to be creep asses and listen to Rush Limbaugh, but we're going to do it anyway. Why? Because the Democratic Party truly, truly is pro-life. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. We're getting emails from people about those sound bites. Reg wants more, more, more. Jack says, did I just hear Bush, the decisionator, say the good money we collected? What does he think this is, an effing game of Monopoly? And I guess the reason we didn't hear any of these sound bites on our local news is because they realize Bush is just a total embarrassment to the country. Yeah, I don't know. We put together as many as we can stand. It's usually about 50-50 on response to these sound bites from our listeners. Don't play that. I can't stand it. Play more. It's insane. You know, that sort of thing. A couple emails real quick here and then to your phone calls. Russ in Texas writes regarding the S-chip and health insurance. He writes, I'm a teacher and can't afford the health insurance offered by the school, and I don't even have kids, so I can't imagine how hard it must be for those families. We're talking 20 to 50% of people's incomes just so they and their kids can see the doctor and afford it. And Bush just told them to go screw themselves with this veto. Unbelievable. The fight, Russ writes, for health care for all is a two-front battle. The insurance front is getting all the attention, but what is being done on the other front to lower the cost of health care to begin with? Isn't that what's driving up the cost of coverage? Is it even possible in the for-profit market-driven system? Russ, the quick answer to that, and you ought to send that question to Hartman, because you know he's much smarter than I am, and I'm not trying to be a snot when I say that. I won't say he's smarter. He's done more research than I have, so he could answer your question better than what I am about to do right now. When you ask what's being done to lower the cost of care to begin with, making it single payer would immediately drop the cost considerably, because the health insurance companies, the corporations, would be out of it. When you stop and consider all these mega health insurance corporations and the buildings they own and the people they employ, and most of those people are there for one reason, to deny your claim. They're not there to pay the claim. They're there to deny it. And the multi-million dollar CEO pay packages that these people get. So the two are, the two fronts, as you put it, Russ, are kind of tied together. One of the things that's driving the cost of health care up are these exorbitant increases in insurance premiums that guarantee profit to the insurance companies. a massive profit. They're like the oil companies. Health insurance companies are nothing more than an absolute fraud on the American public. It's insane. You know, the rest of the civilized world, the Western industrialized capitalistic world, looks at the system we have and they just scratch their heads and say, how can Americans, who in most instances used to anyway, seem to be bright, allow a predatory industry like this to stand between them and medical care? It makes no sense whatsoever, Russ. It just doesn't. It's insane. It's like the Berlin Wall to the East Germans back in the 60s. You know, they wanted freedom. Okay, go over the wall, but I'll be shot. No kidding. Take your chance. That's what this is all about. These filthy, predatory, vampiric insurance companies who are not about health care. They are about profit and denying health care. And the heads of these companies, like the heads of the tobacco industries, should be jailed for something, I don't know what, fraud? Oh, that's right. We live in America where it's legal to be a liar and a cheat. Last one. This is from Michelle in Seattle. Mike and Kathy, regarding the veto of the children's health care bill, I believe one of the objections Bush cited today was that it included people who just simply made too much money. He has a point, does he not? Well, not really, Michelle. I think he needs to include his administration and Congress in that group. I believe they also make far too much money to be offered the health care packages they receive from the taxpayers. I would encourage everyone to email their representatives demanding their benefits be reduced or perhaps even eliminated. I'm sure most of them can well afford their own individual health care plans, members of Congress. They have very convenient automatic payment programs they can set up with their banks that would deduct the premiums. They will hardly even notice it. After all good Americans should be willing to tighten their belts to ensure the continued success of and prosperity of Halliburton, KBR, Blackwater, and the rest of them, so that we can be dirt poor and spiritually broken, but oh so safe. The American people better stop acting like a bunch of babies with their hands outstretched full of candy to be taken. The country is being liquidated right under our noses. Who would have thought it would be this easy? Michelle. Okay, he has a point, does he not? Was said ironically and sarcastically. Your letter was too well written, Michelle. You got me. All right, back to your phone calls on these issues here. Let's start with Gary, who is calling from Clayville, New York, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Gary.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I've been waiting for about 45 minutes, so I got to pull it together here.
Okay.
I've listened to you since you're on Air America late at night, so I caught you on Sirius online here.
Uh-huh.
And I've been trying to follow your line of thought. You're saying that the children will suffer for this, but what was it exactly that his concern was about, that it was for people that didn't need it?
What now?
Something to the effect that the insurance or the S-chip would be expanded to people who really didn't need it. You heard this part?
Well, who doesn't need?
Well, no, I'm just saying that what his argument was.
What Bush's argument? Bush's argument?
Yeah.
Well, that's his argument because he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Okay, so there's nothing to the fact that there'll be people that will be receiving this benefit that don't really need it.
I'm trying to understand what you mean by that.
Who doesn't need it? I'm just repeating what I heard. I understand that.
And I'm
I don't
asking.
Know how that would happen.
Well, let me just ask you. You're an adult. Think. What families with children don't need children's health insurance? That's what you're saying. I'm not trying to beat you up or harass you. I just want to know what you are saying. Wait.
Yeah.
You're saying that the argument against this that you've heard, and I assume you've heard it from right-wing radio, is that families who don't need it will get it. Who? What family in America with children doesn't need it?
I don't know. Apparently people who already have enough money.
Who is that?
I don't know. I'm trying to know. I'm asking,
okay, those families.
What exactly did he
those families may exist, yeah. But we have 9 million uninsured children, which means there are children in the families. There are 9 million children in families that can't afford health insurance. Do you have health insurance?
No, I don't.
Do you have children?
They're grown.
Excuse me?
They're grown.
Did you have health insurance when they were little?
No, because I had too many crappy jobs. I couldn't afford health insurance.
Okay. Well, then, and you never had to use a hospital. They never had to have their tonsils out or an appendectomy or flu shots or anything, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, they had medical services, of course.
All right. How did your children get the medical services?
Oh, they were on welfare program.
Okay. I rest my case. Gary, thanks. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Take care. We have to break here? Huh? We have a break coming. All right. The number is 800-989-1480. Yeah, Gary just answered his own question. I don't know. I've never known how to fight back, not Gary, but against the tide of right-wing garbage that rolls over this country every day on 700 or 800 radio stations, coast to coast, border to border, lies and half-truths and misstatements and innuendos, stuff that is simply not true until you get a Gary or a Mike Malloy, whose mind has been so corrupted and polluted by this garbage, we couldn't find our asses with both hands. We don't know what's true. What's true? Well, there must be families out there who don't need health insurance that have kids. Aren't there? That's what I keep hearing. Right? No, that's not right. Well, what is right? It's not your fault, Gary. It's not my fault, Gary. It's because daily, coast to coast, a tsunami of garbage on talk radio. Lies, deceit, BS. It never stops.
I'm taking all my pills, but I'm still not sleepy. Tried to trick myself into thinking that I'm not awake.
Proof that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Back to your calls. David is calling from Blaine, Washington, listening via the internet. David, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, David.
Hey, liars, cheats, thieves, torturers, murderers. This is the motto of the Bush administration, wouldn't you say?
They're known by their actions.
Yep. And it's you know, any red-blooded American, if they're even remotely paying attention to the news, and if they could find their ass with a flashlight, like you were saying before the break, you know, it's clear, it's crystal clear. You know, there's nothing more to analyze. The next step is a new Nuremberg trial of some sort. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to also keep readjusting our perspective and realize the pattern of hypocrisy running out of this grand old party like a deadly case of diarrhea. And the shocking number of Republicans who are jumping ship, who are conveniently not going to be running again in the next future elections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially the Senate seats. I mean, because, you know, since 2006, sure, step one was to shift the majority, because for 6+ years, what did the Republicans do? Nothing. But like you said, drain the Treasury, start illegal occupations in other countries, enable these corporations to make money off the backs of people. I mean, and this argument about health care, I mean, it's unbelievable, because what's missing in the discussion is the services rendered. I mean, sure, you can cover everybody, but are there doctors and nurses, you know, that are going to be providing the quality healing modalities, not just, you know, Western medicine, like here, pop some pills and, you know, and call me in the morning, you know, but real health care. But these corporations, these government regimes, you know, profit off of sickness and death. And, you know, we have to obviously take our own health care in our own hands.
Well, we can do that to a certain extent. You know, preventive medicine is never talked about in polite society. There's so much we could do. Organic food, trying to eliminate the heavy metals that get into our system.
The water, too. The water.
Yeah, taking better care of ourselves. You know, that is just not talked about. And it's a damn shame. But I'll guarantee you that you nor I can do our own appendectomies. I had a lump on my thyroid that was taken out. I couldn't have done that myself. So, yeah, I'll take responsibility for my own health care. I'll do the best I can once I came out of the fog of thinking, well, I know smoking's bad for me, but, you know, I won't be the 1 in 10 smokers that develops fatal lung cancer. So, yeah, humans can do an awful lot to take responsibility for our own health care, but we can't do those surgical procedures. We can't give ourselves the injections that we need, whether it is for arthritic joints or the DPT shot.
And that's where the health care needs to be focused on, is those services that, you know, are critical. I mean, last night I had this revelation as I was listening to all the various shows that we just need a massive triage, you know, separating who needs what services, who needs what and when, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that are needing the services. I mean, this brings up the stem cell issue. We could be enjoying stem cell remedies right now.
Yeah.
And reversing a lot of these debilitating issues like, you know, diabetes,
mm-hmm.
For one thing. I mean, that's a cash cow for these corrupt drug companies that it costs pennies to make these pills.
And
what
are
they charging 10,000% markup, you know,
right,
on these pills?
Right, and the risk of sounding argumentative, David, I'm not trying to be. Diabetes is one of the most, I assume,
preventable.
From what I've heard, easily preventable syndromes or conditions that are out there. What is required? Weight control, exercise. And don't we have an epidemic in this country? I keep hearing we have an epidemic of obesity. We have people who maybe it doesn't show so much, maybe 10 or 15 pounds overweight. That's enough to push you over that edge.
But look at the FDA. The FDA and Congress, they've been enabling the problem by not passing legislation requiring the wording to be on the freaking labels.
Sure.
So that the people who are buying the products can make the final decision. Oh, do I want to eat genetically modified organisms,
right,
you know, or
right. There's,
you know,
so much. Yeah, and I agree. I you know, I truly get where you're going with this, David. There is so much more involved here than just making sure that there is medical care, and that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about health care. We're talking about medical care for the most part. There is some preventive medicine in children's medicine, but we're talking mostly about medical care here, not health care. Health care comes from proper diet and proper exercise and getting our lardy asses off of the couches and doing something. You know, I go swim laps every day now that the pool is closed here. I go to an aquatic center not far from my house, and every day I see classes of and bless their hearts for showing up, but grossly obese people who are my age and younger, who are standing there in shoulder-deep water, desperately doing water calisthenics to try to get this horror off their frames. And like I say, bless their hearts, that's what they should be doing. That's what we need in this country, is preventive attitudes about our own health.
That's what I said. Life will kill you. Then you'll be dead. Life will find you. Wherever you go, requiesce, cotton patchy, that's all.
Your host for a Pence, Friends Future, it's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Barb just sent this in. It is from U.S. News and World Report. The current issue, I guess. And what it says here, I think it's... No, it's not from... Oh, hell, who knows? Anyway, it's from yesterday. Americans outspend Europeans when it comes to chronic disease care, according to this study. Now, this indirectly affects what we're talking about tonight. Obesity is a big factor driving soaring rates of chronic disease in the United States, with many more Americans chronically ill than their European counterparts. According to a new study, it's an expensive problem, too. According to researchers, chronic illnesses such as diabetes and heart disease account for $100 to $150 billion in healthcare spending in the United States each year. The lead researcher from Emory University's Rollins School of Public Health in Atlanta says the United States spends twice as much as European countries on healthcare. 75% of what we spend in this country is associated with patients who have one or more chronic conditions, and most of the growth is due to obesity. He went on to say, we have got to find more effective means to reduce and, at the worst, stabilize this persistent rise in obesity among adults and kids in the country. In addition, experts must find better and less expensive ways of managing chronic health care problems, Mr. Thorpe said. He went on to say, the report said about 17% of European adults are obese, compared with about 34% of American adults, twice as many. In addition, 53% of adult Americans are either former or current smokers, compared with 43% of those in Europe. American adults were also more likely than Europeans to have heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and chronic lung disease, all associated with obesity and or smoking. So, yeah, until we take a look at the processed food industry and the tobacco industry and how they have sold all of us, and I'm not shifting responsibility here, not at all, because we have ultimate responsibility about what we put in our body or our lungs. But when you are told there's a whole generation that's still alive out here, and I'm in that generation, that was told for years and years and years and years in ads. I've got an ad, it's framed, it's a piece of artwork to me, of Ronald Reagan endorsing Chesterfield cigarettes for his friends at Christmas. It's a magazine ad from, what, Kathy, the late 40s, when he was a Hollywood star. You know, we have a generation out here, my generation, that was brought up believing clear until 1964 that I remember in high school they told us the worst thing smoking would do to you would be to, the phrase was, stunt your growth. In other words, you wouldn't be 6'2 if you smoked. You might be only 5'9. That's sort of nonsense. We were also taught that high calorie, high sodium, prepared foods, Christ only knows what it was prepared from, were referred to as convenience foods and TV dinners. I mean, you know, my generation is the one right now that is dealing, or should be the one that's dealing with chronic diseases. But the problem is, we never learned or taught our children and our grandchildren how to demand truth in advertising or demand that some of this garbage and poison be taken off the market. So we have the second and third generation behind me, for example, who are still ingesting this crap, eating, now it's gotten worse, genetically modified foods. Who knows? Who knows, really? Okay, it's great that you can make tomatoes now with a frog gene that will last for 6 weeks in your refrigerator. Oh, woo, okay, do we really need that? And kids are still not being told, not in a deliberate, scary way, that cigarette smoking will kill you. Oh, well, I'm getting on the wrong soapbox here, but just got off on that tangent because of healthcare costs in this country. Back to your phone calls. Pardon my digression. Steve is calling from Albany via the Internet. Oh, yeah, the active duty rally. How you doing, Steve?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call tonight.
Sure.
I wanted to call in and give you an update on what happened this past weekend in Syracuse.
Yes, tell me.
We had the official reports and newspapers and stuff say 2,000 to 3,000 people, which usually they tend to report on the lower side. But we're happy that there's that many.
That's quite a crowd.
Yeah, it is. It was quite a crowd, although we probably didn't get any coverage outside of Syracuse itself.
Didn't hear a word.
Right, exactly.
Nothing. Nothing on CNN, MSNBC, or the networks. Nothing. Absolutely
no.
Nothing.
No, I think probably the other than your show and the Daily Kos is probably the only national coverage we'll see. But there was about 20 of the active duty Iraq veterans against the war
uh-huh.
were there. And then they had a forum in the evening with Scott Ritter
uh-huh.
and Jimmy Massey and Dr. Wasif, who is a Iraqi American.
Uh-huh.
And
now, was all this stuff open to the public?
All of it was open to the public. In fact, we're working on getting the Syracuse people are working on getting the videos up on the net so people can see it, and that'll be up soon.
If you do that, you know, I hope you're going to post a link somewhere. And if I might ask you, send me a link or tell me where it's posted so I can go see it.
Absolutely. People can find reports if they want to go back to that same website I mentioned before, neighbors4peace.org.
Neighbors4peace.org, okay.
Yep, and there's a link in the upper corner there to lots of the different newspaper reports and some of the television channels. We had, from the Albany area, we had a caravan of a large bus and 20 cars, and probably another 20 or to 40 cars. We're not quite sure how many didn't actually meet us at our starting location,
mm-hmm.
but we know that there was at least another 20 cars that drove from here, and then there was a bus from Boston. And
were there any pro-war people who thought the active duty resistors were phony soldiers?
Didn't see any of them. Actually,
yeah.
Although I did get a chance to discuss that with Jimmy Massey,
mm-hmm.
Who's one of the founding members of the Iraq Veterans Against the War, and he wasn't surprised at that. You know, he mentioned a soldier, it slips my, or a person who claimed to be a soldier, who was arrested for impersonating one.
Wow.
You know, who was a pro-war advocate. You know, he wasn't really surprised at that kind of response. And I was I'm very amazed at how all of these guys able to keep their composure under such circumstances. We were able to talk to a few of them about mm-hmm. that.
What's the next step now? Are there going to be further gatherings of active duty soldiers?
Yeah, well, they're active. The active the Iraq Veterans Against the War group is a quick growing group. I mentioned a video last week, which was actually I mentioned when I came home, but that's actually a different video than I was. Really should have mentioned, which was the Ground Truth,
mm-hmm.
and but they go on tour, I guess every summer to different bases and hand out cards. And so, if anybody is actually interested in learning more about that, they should go to the Iraq Veterans Against the War website.
And that's the. What is that website? Iraq Vets Against the War? What is it?
Yeah, it's IVAW.
IVAW.org?
.org.
Okay.
They're actually a sub-chapter of the Veterans.
Right.
Veterans right. for Peace.
All right. Stay in touch, Steve. Let me know as this stuff develops, because I think what you and these folks are doing who are active duty members is. I don't know how to describe it except to say it is true courage and true bravery. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate you checking in. You know, regarding that, let me just drop this in very quickly. The company that syndicates, this is according to CNN, the company that syndicates Limbaugh's radio program defended his controversial phony soldiers remark, saying it's unfair to assume the comment was directed at combat troops opposing the Iraq war. Jesus. Mark Mays, CEO of Clear Channel Communications, wrote a letter to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid saying, quote, over the years, Mr. Limbaugh has repeatedly praised the dedication and valor of our brave men and women in uniform. Mays went on to say, given Mr. Limbaugh's history of support for our soldiers, it would be unfair to assume his statements were intended to personally indict combat soldiers simply because they didn't share his own beliefs regarding the war in Iraq, end quote. That's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. But, of course, Clear Channel is going to jump in and defend him. What would they do? What would they say? We're getting rid of him? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
All countries to be deemed evil, not by our will and not in our name.
And now, a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Just a little bit more on this Limbaugh crap. You know, I can't not talk about it. I just can't. I know that in the big picture, we look at the pig man as just being inconsequential, and any debate he has with decent people in this country as being superfluous. Limbaugh is what Limbaugh is, but on the other hand, Limbaugh is the biggest threat to democracy and democratic ideas in this country since, I mentioned it tonight, since Father Coughlin. Or Axis Sally. He is a horrific threat to democratic principles. He is a complete corporate whore, and the people who own him know that. That's why he is a prime property. But apparently he went on and on and on today. Limbaugh said he was taken out of context. He claims now he was referring to one soldier, a war critic who falsely claimed to be an Iraq veteran. Yeah, okay. When you listen to the transcript, or not the transcript, when you listen to the actual audio of what Limbaugh said with his caller, that's nonsense. But then again, Limbaugh is a filthy, pig-stuffed liar. That's all he is. He said, quote, the effort here is simply to discredit people that they consider effective and powerful on the right, ginning up, leading up into the 08 elections. The anti-war veterans group VoteVets.org has launched a TV ad attacking Limbaugh, according to CNN. The ad features Purple Heart recipient Brian McGuff, who suffered a brain injury in the Iraq War. McGuff says in the ad, quote, Rush, the shrapnel I took to my head was real. My traumatic brain injury was real. And my belief that we are on the wrong course in Iraq is real. Until you have the guts to call me a phony soldier to my face, stop telling lies about my service, end quote. But sure, the Clear Channel is going to defend this guy. He could get on the air, Limbaugh could, and say, you know, I don't know, pick a phrase. He could say anything he wanted to, no matter how outrageous. Everything the man says is a lie or a distortion. It always has been. Now, at one time, that was kind of funny, like the Colbert Report or the Daily Show. You know, that's distortion, too, but that kind of stuff is funny. Limbaugh's not funny. He's a Nazi. But he generates just hundreds of millions of dollars in ad revenue for his owners because he's safe. He only speaks in favor of corporate America. That's all. Everybody else is a communist or a liar or takes him out of context or is the worst thing in the world to Limbaugh, a liberal. So for the head of the CEO of Clear Channel to defend what he said, well, of course. What's Clear Channel going to say? Yeah, we think he was an ass. We're getting rid of him? Yeah. Sure. That would be like Fox News getting rid of the junior liar and distorter of the truth, Sean Hannity. Will never happen. Never. Oh, God. Oh, well. Enough about the pig. Back to your phone calls. Tony is calling from Phoenix, listening on KPHX. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Hey, listen, I just wanted to go back to this cigarette tax thing. I know you hate smokers, and we're just despicable people.
No. Never said that.
I know you didn't, but no. I kind of got that feeling out of the air.
Never said that, Tony. I smoked for almost 40 years. I smoked for almost 40 years. What I have said is that there is no doubt that smoking will kill you.
Exactly, and there's no doubt that alcohol does the same thing. There's no doubt that fat people do the same. Oh, let's tax the fat people. Let's tax the alcohol.
No, see, this is the kind of argument that an addict uses, and I know because I've used it. You are obviously addicted to nicotine, and if you can't get off your addiction, I can understand using anything to justify, or at least,
why pick on me?
Tony,
sure,
Jesus,
61 cents a
nobody is picking on you, Tony. Let me put you on hold because you're breaking up, and to bring up the drinking thing and the obese thing. Sure, okay. Why not bring that up? But in the context of cigarette smoking, food, if used properly, will not kill you. Alcohol, if used with judicious propriety, will not kill you. Cigarettes, on the other hand, if used exactly as they are designed, will either kill you or make you sick or shorten your life. There's no argument left there anymore. Now, I understand where you're coming from, Tony. You know, at the time the Surgeon General's report came out in 1964, I was married to a woman who worked in the cancer ward at the Richmond Professional Institute, which was a hospital. She worked in the radiation department. And she would get, and both she and I were smokers. And she would get off work and tell me about the people who would come in for the radiation treatments who would be sucking on a cigarette through their tracheostomy hole. They were that addicted. And we would sit there and cluck our tongues and shake our heads and think, oh, Jesus, that's really silly. Hey, you got a light? So, you know, I understand addiction. I have been addicted to one substance in my entire life, and that was nicotine. And I understand when you're a nicotine addict, just like people who are crack addicts, you will do anything you can to rationalize your usage of the drug. Anything. I know. I did it. So, Tony, when you talk to me about what about fat people or what about drinkers, now, food is not designed to kill you. Cigarettes are, just like guns. So we have two legal products, Tony. Cigarettes and guns, when used exactly as they're designed, will kill you. Oy. Tony, thanks. I appreciate your call. Don't be pissed off at me. I'm not picking on you. I really am not. I'm not picking on any smoker. I'm just making the statement, the obvious statement, two statements. Water is wet. Smoking will make you sick.
Like a fish on a hook,
It's about 7 past the hour. By the way, after tomorrow night, we'll be gone for 7 broadcast nights, right? Sam Cedar going to be sitting in for us the entire time. This Friday, all next week, and the following Monday, we are making this trip along with a whole clutch of folks who signed up to do the Mexican Riviera. And, gosh, October is here already. Whew. When do we start talking about that, Kathy? Back in May? Is it May? April? May? And I thought at the time, well, that's just a million light years from now. Here it is. So we'll be gone this Friday, all of next week, and the following Monday. And we'll be back Tuesday, the, what is it? 16th? So when you hear Sam Cedar, it's not because I've been fired. Well, I don't know. I don't think it'll be. Back to your phone calls. Lee is calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, listening on the Internet. Hey, Lee.
Yeah. What I wanted to call about, Mike, is I noticed the number of times that Bush used the word poor in relationship to the S-CHIP program. And it reminds me of something that's been going on in American politics for American society for a while. Prior to Reconstruction in the South, theoretically, America had a public school system, or various states did. Uh-huh. But in order to attend the public school, you had to admit to the fact that you were poor in order to go into public school. It was called a pauper rule. That was used to stymie the development of public schools in America until 1868 in Alabama. Now, with his whole thing, public health being an issue in America, what they're trying to do now is stymie the growth of a public health system by attaching that to poverty. Only poor people should have public health.
Yeah, which is insane. I mean, it's just totally insane. But that's an excellent point. That's an excellent point, Lee.
Yeah, talk to you later.
All right, thanks. Appreciate you checking in. Only poor people should have public health. Only poor people should have school. What's this? Somebody just sent this to me. Who sent this to me? The supervisors in San Francisco, the Board of Supervisors, all 11 members, voted yesterday to condemn remarks made by Michael Savage against the immigrant community. The proposal also reiterated San Francisco's commitment to being a tolerant, respectful city. Yeah, Savage is a pig. He's a Limbaugh wannabe and never will be, but the resolution was believed to be in response to Savage's July 5th broadcast, when he commented on a group of students who had announced they were fasting in support of changes in immigration policy. Savage said, "I would say let them fast until they starve to death. That solves that problem." Oh, God. Savage is Ann Coulter with a scrotum. You know, there's no difference between Savage and Coulter. No, don't start that sex change nonsense with me. But that's all Savage is. He doesn't want to be Limbaugh. He wants to be Ann Coulter. The students were involved in a week-long fast at the Civic Center Plaza to urge Congress to pass an immigration reform bill. The resolution called Savage's comment symbolic of hatred and racism. Well, whatever. But, you know, Savage, Hannity, Limbaugh, the list goes on and on. Hugh Hewitt, there's so many of these pigs that do nothing but distort and pollute and rupture the public airwaves just constantly. I mean, without let up. You cannot be any place in the United States without turning on a radio 24/7 and hearing extreme right-wing pro-Nazi propaganda. Back in the 30s, we only had one who did that, Father Coughlin. Now we have 50 or 60 who do it. It's horrifying, horrifying what is being put out there. And they even have their own Bible, this Talkers Magazine, that is nothing more than the masturbatory fantasies for these people. They just sit around and praise each other to see who can be the most right-wing savage, like Michael Savage, whose real name, of course, is Michael Wiener. I don't know. Should there be resolutions in Congress or the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco condemning these pigs? Huh? Absolutely. You're damn right. I mean, why not? When a liberal or a left-winger or a Democrat makes a statement that they don't like, oh, Jesus, they just go rabid. They just foam and froth and drool and dribble all over themselves to try to make that person appear to be something that he or she isn't. So should there be retaliation? Well, you call it. Do you want to continue to be a lefty or a liberal or a Democrat, sit back on your ass while these people continue to pummel us, our Constitution, our system, and our airwaves? I don't. That's why I do the kind of show that I do. That's probably why I'm, you know, not on 100 radio stations. That's why I, you know, pick up so many listeners via the internet or the satellite radio. For that very reason. But anyway, so the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco, I can't wait till Savage gets his mouth around that. Huh? Yeah. All right, back to, I'm sorry, I keep digressing here. John is calling from Fayetteville, Arkansas, listening on Sirius. Hey, John.
Hi.
Hi.
You were talking earlier about the cost of health care.
Yeah.
Here in Northwest Arkansas, we have airwaves full of Rush Limbaugh and a newspaper that is extremely right-wing. And it has recently there was an article in there. They put a, you know, one of these guest editorials from a right-wing think tank called the Ayn Rand Institute about why it is socialized medicine or single-payer health care is disastrous for the United States. And the interesting part about the thing, it made me angry, so I got on the internet and looked up the Canadian tax rate schedules and the United States tax rate schedules and looked at the fact that here in Northwest Arkansas, the median income for a family is on the order of $43,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I took that as, okay, what would the Canadians pay? And according to the Canadian tax schedule for federal and state tax in Canada, they pay in the neighborhood of 27%. Here in the United States, our tax rate schedules for the same income would give around 21%, which shows 6% more tax than Canada.
Right.
Now, that includes health insurance. If you add $10,000 a year for a decent health insurance policy for a family of four to the 21% tax that we're paying here, a family in the $40,000 range will be paying 50 to 60% tax for a situation where they have medical care, which makes it way the heck and gone beyond the cost in Canada.
Yeah, those sorts of truths abound where it concerns single-payer health care. When you couple that with the cost that we incur to manage chronic diseases in this country, that the rest of the Western industrialized world has come to realize that there are ways to avoid, to some degree, some of these chronic diseases by watching what we eat and how we exercise and what our weight is and whether or not we smoke. When you realize all that, you just think, you know, how could we, the American people, be so just so stupid that we let a business stand in the way of our health care, and we let advertising and the crappy food stand in the way of our health? It's incredible.
Well, in all fairness, the Republicans are masters at comparing apples and pomegranates.
That's true.
Because, I mean, these Ayn Rand articles are very slick reading.
Yes.
Yet they cited in this thing that because you had to wait in line in Canada, they lost 192 people over the course of the year. My immediate response is, well, with the 43 million without health care here, how many died from lack of attention at all or didn't get in line because they knew if they got to the head of the line, they couldn't buy the health insurance anyway?
Anyway, I hear you. I hear you. John, thanks, man. I got a break here. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in, pal. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us.
Everybody's out there looking for a new
Ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. Back to your phone calls. Susan is calling from Oakland Park, Florida, listening on WINZ. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
After listening to some of the previous callers, what sprang into my mind was those poor children aren't used to health care, so it'll probably work out very well for them.
Oh,
to paraphrase Barbara Bush.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Another compassionate member of the Bush crime family. Yeah.
I think you've misunderstimated the thuggery of the Republicans who voted for the S-CHIPS funding.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think they probably decided beforehand just how many of them they could allow to vote yes, knowing Bush would veto it, and there wouldn't be enough votes to override. So the ones that are in purple states that are close could appear to be compassionate, but not really.
Oh, God. You know that
that's the way things are with me. Always.
No, that's the way
the worst.
No, that's the way things are with Republicans.
Yeah.
And if you spotted it, if you smelled it, and dug around in the debris and found out that you know what you just discovered, what you just said, you're probably right on, Susan.
Well, since there is nothing we cannot put past the Republican Party.
That's right.
And their allies, anything is in the realm of possibility. And can I digress now?
Sure.
Could you look into something that I think would be right up your alley, and I only heard a really, really small bite of on tonight's NBC Evening News. It was about a military unit, possibly of the National Guard, who were deactivated after 729 days. Because if they'd served one more day, they would have been entitled to benefits.
Oh, my God.
And that's just the kind of story that I can't. I only caught a word here and a word there, and I don't really know. I know the 729 days. I know it was NBC night, Evening News towards the end. And
why
I'd love to know more details about that. And boy, do I. You know, the library won't stay open until 1, 2 a.m. for me.
Damn
they
them.
Kick me out at either 6. They kick me off the computers at either 5:30 or 7:30 p.m. and that's it on the days when I get to go there.
Maybe
and
we can.
They just won't give me a key.
Yeah, I know. they're that way. Maybe we can find that story. If not, maybe you can find it tomorrow when they open the library. I would, if I were you, I'd be there at 4:30 in the morning. Just start beating on the door, Susan.
Well, when I worked there, I used to stay until way after hours working.
And yet, there are people, the military families, there are so many military families in this country who still believe that Bush's Defense Department and this war and occupation and the treatment given to veterans is somehow okay. I don't understand that. I just, there's incident after incident of how Bush and the Republicans just so totally disrespect the people that wear the uniform, military uniform in this country. And I don't understand why every single member of the military and their families haven't come to that conclusion.
Or why Congress isn't looking into more of it. Oh, and something else. Did you see Harriet Myers and Josh Bolten appear before the answer the subpoenas and appear before the what was the House Judiciary Committee?
No. When did that happen?
It didn't.
Oh.
I'm sorry I set you up like that.
No.
Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to Valerie Plame? Whatever happened to on and on and on and on?
It's just been swept under the rug. We have no business knowing that. Any answers to those questions, neither does the Congress. This is the Bush crime family. They will do what they want until they are removed from office one way or the other, either by impeachment or by being running out the clock and handing off all the problems and all the horror they've generated to the next five or six administrations. Oh, well.
I know. Good night, Mike. Good night.
All right. Take care, Susan. I appreciate you checking in. Holy cow. This is an extremely long article. In tomorrow's New York Times, when you print it off on your computer, it's already up. on the nytimes.com, when you print it off on your computer, it's 11 pages about secret U.S. endorsement of torture. Wow. Well, this will give me something to read tonight as I drift off to sleep. And then tomorrow, this will probably be the topic that we talk about. If you wanted to, if you subscribe to the Times, you'll have it in your driveway in the morning. If not, or whether you subscribe or not, you can get online right now. It's there. Secret U.S. endorsement of severe interrogations. And keep in mind when you read this, what Bush and Cheney, and to a lesser extent, this disgusting Alberto Gonzalez, the three top law enforcement officers, guarantors of the Constitution in the United States, the President, Vice President, and Attorney General, as you read this article in tomorrow's Times, keep in mind what they said over and over again. We don't torture. We don't torture. We don't torture. And then read this article. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. All right, Susan, listening on WINZ, when you go to the library tomorrow, just Google 729 days and click on Google News. The story comes right up. That's what Laura Sue did and sent me the article. And here's what it says. It's not that long. This is horrifying. This is from the NBC television affiliate in Minneapolis, Channel 6, WCSH, Channel 6. When they came home from Iraq, 2,600 members of the Minnesota National Guard had been deployed longer than any other ground combat unit. Their tour lasted 22 months and had been extended as part of Bush's surge. First Lieutenant John Anderson said he never expected to come home to this. A government refusing to pay educational benefits he says he should have earned under the GI Bill. Anderson said, quote, "It's pretty much a slap in the face. I think it was a scheme to save money, personally. I think it was a leadership failure by senior Washington leadership, once again failing the soldiers," end quote. Anderson's orders and the orders of 1,161 other Minnesota Guard members were written for 729 days. Had they been written for 730 days, just one more day, the soldiers would receive those benefits to pay for school. Anderson said that would be allowing the soldiers an extra $500, $800 a month. That money would help him pay for his master's degree in public administration. It would help Anderson's fellow platoon leader, John Hobart, pay for a degree in law enforcement. Hobart said, quote, "I would assume and I would hope that when I get back from a deployment of 22 months, the senior leadership in Washington, the leadership that extended us in the first place, would take care of us once we got home," end quote. Both Hobart and Anderson believe the Pentagon deliberately wrote orders for 729 days instead of 730. Now, six of Minnesota's members of the House have asked the Secretary of the Army to look into it. So have Senators Amy Klobuchar, is that how you say her name, and Norm Coleman. Klobuchar said the GI money, quote, "shouldn't be tied up in red tape," end quote. And Coleman said, quote, "it's simply irresponsible to deny education benefits to those soldiers who just completed the longest tour of duty of any unit in Iraq," end quote. Lieutenant Anderson said the soldiers he oversaw in his platoon expected that money to be here when they came home. Anderson said, quote, "I had 23 guys under my command. I promised to take care of them. And I'm not going to end taking care of them until this deployment is over, and it's not over till this is solved," end quote. The Army did not respond to questions Tuesday afternoon. Son of a bitch. See, it's that sort of thing. You know, these guys suspect that the Pentagon did this deliberately, 729 days instead of 730. No, come on, guys. This is deliberate. But this is a fulfillment of going all the way back to Henry Kissinger, who mocked soldiers who were dying in Vietnam. These warmongering Republicans, look, guys, girls in the uniform, they don't care if you live and die or die. In fact, if you are going to qualify for benefits, they would rather you died. Don't you understand that? The Republican Party has utterly and absolutely no use for you once you come home. They don't have any use for you when you're there. Oh, my God, how can any soldier, any Marine, anybody in the military or their families ever for 30 seconds think that Republicans give a damn about them? How do you folks do that? It's just, I don't have any words for it. 729 days, 22 months in combat, in Vietnam, you only had to do a year, 22 months. And you know these guys are still subject to recall? I would assume they're still subject to go back for another deployment? And these filthy, filthy pig bastards in Washington, the Bush crime family, and the pig bastards on Fox and Limbaugh and the rest of these people. Would you call these people phony soldiers, you pig? This is astonishing. It's just unbelievable what's going on. And you know what's really astonishing? 98% of the American public doesn't give a goddamn about any of this. It doesn't affect us. Have you got a relative in the military? Chances are, hell no. What do you care? What did Bush say? Go shopping. What did America do? By God, it went shopping. This is insanity. We're living in a madhouse. I think Greg Pallas already pointed that out. I just don't know. Half the time, I don't know how to respond. That's why I sink into profanity. I just lose it completely. I just completely. Don't you? I mean, you do too. I know you do. I know you lose it when you hear a story like that. And I never would have heard about that unless Susan would have called in and Laura Sue hadn't sent me the link. How do you hear about stuff like that? Was that on ABC, CBS, or NBC, or CNN, or MSNBC, or the fixed news network? Was it? Laura Sue sent me the link from an NBC affiliate. Why wasn't that all over the country? Why isn't that out there every day? Why isn't Hartman and Randy Rhodes and everybody who claims to be doing liberal talk, why aren't we all talking about this every single day? Well, I guess, in a way, we are. Just over and over and over again. Crap on the children, dump on old people, confuse everybody, disrespect the military, rip to pieces the internal structure, pay off and feed these filthy right-wing contractors who have gone to Iraq, these Republican-backed contractors, in a feeding frenzy of graft and corruption and war profiteering. It's just incredible. Did you read the article I told you to go read in Rolling Stone, the August 23rd issue? Jesus God, read what's going on in Iraq. The fraud, the graft, the theft. Tons of cash being shipped over there when Paul Bremer first took over. So no receipts, no accounting, nothing. Billions stolen, just stolen. By these right-wing, Bush-supporting contractors who are nothing more than organized gangs of thugs and thieves and liars. And these are people representing the United States. And it just never stops. It never stops. And I truly wonder how much longer it's going to be before this country convulses. I mean, just absolutely convulses. I just wonder, you know, I know who I want when the lights go out. I've got my list. Maybe you do too. And I'm not kidding. Oh, man. Back to your phone calls. Thanks to Susan for pointing it out. Laura Sue for sending in the link. Scott's calling from Federal Way, Washington. Listening on KPTK. How you doing, Scott?
Yeah, and you know, and even then, they won't pay your benefits then if you died, because they'll try to deny. They'll try to claim you died some other way.
So sure.
Even then, they won't even do that. So
sure.
That's how Republican Nazis are. But anyway, I was going to talk about this thing about the health thing, and they keep using the so-called numbers from New York because they individually wanted to raise their ceiling limit. Well, you know as well as I do, $82,000 in New York could be considered as lower income. You could easily alone end up spending $3,000 or $4,000 alone in rent.
That's right.
Just alone.
That's
and
right.
And then, you know, figure most people don't have cars. They take public transportation or cabs to get back and forth to work. You know, New York is not an expensive town to live in. So, you know, where somebody is getting off that, you know, that's rich. And, you know, if you're a family of three or four, you're barely just getting by. And if you got to spend, and, you know, and I pay some of the benefits, and I've seen some of the, a lot of these companies don't even pay for dependent care. So, you know, you can easily end up spending $300-$500 a month just to cover your dependents. So, you know.
I know. It's total madness. It's total madness, Scott.
That just goes to show where the priorities are as far as that's concerned. And, you know, as far as, and I used to work for one of these healthcare companies years ago. In fact, when I worked for it, I didn't know that Senator Frist, his family was the one that owned it.
You know, they paid the largest fine in the history of these filthy healthcare industries.
Oh, yeah.
For fraud, healthcare fraud.
Yeah, and their stock was corrupt, because I remember a lot of people were getting out of their so-called 401k and their stock plans and stuff like that. I remember that was their goal, was to increase the profits, that no matter what the cost, they didn't pay worth a damn. The so-called union that was supposed to be representing at least my workers, they didn't do anything for us. So, you know, that's what these so-called healthcare companies are.
Oh, they're awful. They ought to. I don't know what they ought to, but they ought to just get out of town. It's horrifying. Hey, Scott, got a boogie. Thanks, pal.
Thanks.
Appreciate you checking in. Take care. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Ten before the hour, round of applause for Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Chris in Minnesota, and Catherine Bay, our executive producer, the people that bring you this program every night. Back to your phone calls. Who do we have here? Dan is calling from Franksville, Wisconsin, listening on WXXM. Hey, Dan.
Yeah, it's me again.
Yeah,
and, I'm a Vietnam-era vet. I got some pretty good benefits. You only had to be in 90 days during wartime. You know, but these other guys, yeah, they got sent to the cleaners. And it's probably because of the media, like I've talked about before. The media, these people can pull this stuff off. There's no problem there. You know, because if you keep people uninformed, it works good. I want to talk a little bit. I know you don't get along. Maybe I don't know what goes on with Air America, but, you know, people talked about Air America. There was, even if people there said, you know, there's room for Air America because, you know, people, advertisers will come there and people listen. They don't care about people because listen, they can have a radio station across this country. If you educate people, you can't sell them garbage and you can't control them. So the more you educate them, the worse it is for people that want to make bucks off you. You keep people ignorant and you take the money right out of their pockets. And then you can send them to war and run them up to the last day and then get them out and say, go to work and shut up.
Yeah, that's
and there you go.
There's a lot of truth in that. Dan, I don't know if you know this. I don't work for Air America. You do understand that.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Okay.
You know, people kept saying that, you know, this is going to work. Air America's going to work. I like what Nova M does with the Founders Club and stuff like that because you're going to have to do a startup like that because you cannot educate people. It's counter to advertisement. I mean, you can run some advertising, but the big players that want to advertise for car, automobiles, stuff like for that, like GM and big corporations, they're not going to touch it. They're cutting their own throats. Ignorance is bliss. It's good. And the money flows in. The farmer doesn't want, he wants his cattle domesticated. He wants them to go right in the own stall. He doesn't want them to dolly around out the field and say, I'm going to take some control of my own life. Nope, you get them right back into that stall.
That's a pretty good metaphor. All right, Dan, I hear what you're saying, and by God, I agree with you. Thanks a lot, pal. I appreciate you checking in. An uneducated population is a controllable population. Why, of course. And it goes all the way back to Upton Sinclair. It goes all the way back to the book The Jungle.
Look at Bush and Cheney.
I was about to say that. Jake is calling from Eureka, California, listening on KGOE. Hey, Jake.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's going.
I'm calling in to talk about that rich, racist, blowhard Limbaugh the liar.
Yeah.
You know, the guy who called soldiers with the brain phony soldiers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how is it that Limbaugh, this, you know, draft-dodging chicken hawk, you know, this greedy, grossly overpaid right-wing Republican Party propagandist, you know, I mean, you know, Limbaugh is ignorant yet arrogant. And he has, you know, just an unbelievable amount of gall to actually go ahead and try to label soldiers, veterans, who oppose this quagmire in Iraq as phony soldiers. Who in the hell is he to talk? Look at the president he supports. George W. Bush was AWOL, a military deserter, for 18 months during 1972 to 73. There's still $1 million reward out there to this day, unclaimed, for anyone in the Alabama Air National Guard to come forward who actually served with Bush. They've done interviews with people who were in that unit at the same time Bush was supposedly there in Alabama. None of them ever saw George W. Bush. And, of course, since Bush's daddy was George Bush Sr., a congressman at the time, he was never prosecuted. He got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to send poor people off to die for his oil? You know, screw that, and screw Rush Limbaugh. I'm with Wesley Clark. Kick Rush Limbaugh off of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Oh, for sure. And besides, Limbaugh even mentioning soldiers or Marines or anybody in the uniform of the United States military, it's almost sacrilegious. I don't mean to get over the top there, but Limbaugh has such disrespect for the military. He tries to pretend as though he cares, but Limbaugh is like Henry Kissinger, I'm sure, and that is Limbaugh would agree with Kissinger that U.S. military soldiers are just what was it, Kathy? What did Kissinger say? I remember you pulled the soundbite for me. It was from a long time ago, but Kissinger made the statement that soldiers who fought in Vietnam were stupid animals that were very easily replaced, and that's exactly how Limbaugh sees the military. So for him to even mention the U.S. military, I would think that soldiers who oppose this war would get into full battle dress and go pay a visit to Rush Limbaugh and ask him if he sees among them a single phony soldier.
That's right. You know, Kissinger, like usual, was wrong. It's Republican politicians who are stupid animals who are easily replaced.
That's true. Kissinger is an international war criminal like Bush, like Cheney, who may at some point have to face a war crimes tribunal. Thanks, Kevin, or Jake. I appreciate you checking in.
And don't forget, when Rumsfeld was asked about the draft, he said that those soldiers drafted into Vietnam really weren't very useful or very helpful, and they provided no value, really, to the overall war effort.
This is how Republicans have, in modern history, have all treated men and women, women now, who and men before, who wore the uniform. They have no respect for them. They have no use for them. They are instruments of a geopolitical policy that has to do with American empire. That's all. You know, wars of convenience for someone else. It's not a convenient war for some GI that gets half his body shot away and is going to live the rest of his life in a wheelchair. That's not a war of convenience for him at all, is it? Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these bastards? Oh, my God. I'll see you tomorrow night. All right, take care. For real. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.